I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Friday night across the capital. The tunes, the big ones. We're chucking them out, the bangers. That one, of course, Tahiti Millwall by Nick Hart and the Lewisham Brass.
Banned.
Good evening. This is Love Sport Radio. How are you, Nick?
I'm good, Aaron.
It's good to
see you, mate. Yeah, it's good to see
good
you.
Good to see you. We've got the. It feels like we've got the A team back.
Yeah, we're loaded. We're you know.
Can you what?
Can I be face?
We're locked and loaded.
You want, mate?
We've got Acton Millwall and the temp, in case they ever have go on holiday.
Is that you?
That is me, yeah.
Are you the temp? Are you the sub?
I am the sub.
Are you basically a glorified John O'Shea?
I'm like Benson and Hedges from Mike Bassett, the movie. Do you remember them
too? Yeah.
Back of the fag.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Harry Warren is down the middle, of course, giving us that biting midfield.
I'm like a slow JCB. Stick it into the mixer. It's my style.
As you said, Mill will buy their players from Booker's.
Yeah.
Macros. So,
I brought the full compliment in because we've got to talk about a game so dreary.
Yeah.
There was so little incident, I needed maximum assistance on Millwall nil, Rotherham nil last Saturday.
Young Mickey Avery's in as well. He's going to be giving us our club shop update a little bit later on.
I'm on the right wing doing my best Gary Taylor Fletcher impression.
Good man, good man.
Not moving.
First and foremost, can I just say a big thanks to everyone who got involved last week after the show we did last Friday. Absolutely incredible response.
Yeah, it was a good one, wasn't it? It was an interesting show. Big subject, difficult subject in some respects.
Yeah.
But we got a lot of good reaction, and online since. So I think we've, it was things that had to be said,
and they were said. No, Saturday
morning. Further evidence was proven on Monday.
I was gonna say, Saturday morning was thoroughly enjoyable as well on the old social media. The comments were brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it's always interesting.
It's fun. It's part of the course.
It's one of those subjects where, you know, I find it difficult because you can't help but talk about it. And whatever you say, whatever viewpoint you take, you find yourself either sounding like you're defending it or you're so far out on the other side of the fence that it's very hard to find middle ground. And I think that we did quite a good job. I think we should do this for a living.
Do you think?
Be like the thick of it, couldn't it? Just like two spin doctors being wheeled out.
I genuinely thought of the thick of it last week. Have they really just done
that?
Oh,
wow. That's a hat trick. That's a hat trick for Billy Shaw.
I saw his second goal. It's a foul.
Wow. Oh, my.
Aston Villa nil. Sunderland.
Well, Sunderland.
Sheffield United, mate.
We've got Sunderland on the brain.
Sunderland. So, oh no, Sheffield United, yes, that's you.
With his shot.
Chef U, as the Chelsea fans say, Chef U.
Most successful striker in this century, yeah?
That's why you're tuning into the show, listeners.
It's fantastic.
He is absolutely class. Aston Villa 0-3-0. Sheffield United 3, just past the hour mark there at Villa Park. And Billy Sharp has a hat-trick for the Blades. Chris Wilder's a class manager. He's going places. Ooh. He's going places. Yeah.
Do you think?
Well, he's a Sheffield United fan.
He ain't going to go anywhere, that's what I'm saying.
That's a nice goal, actually.
I mean, I read Fulham fans turning around going, if we get relegated, sorry, when we get relegated, should bin off Ranieri and bring in Wilder. I was like, why would he go there?
Maybe they should buy... I generally think they should get Mr. Warnock. That'd be nice.
Oh, yeah.
Fulham. Why would he go there?
That's for Muscat.
That's for Muscat.
Do you reckon if he come to Millwall? Yeah, like, you know...
Where's that Muscat? In his first
press conference, he's sitting there, like, going down the tunnel of the dead. Where's that Muscat gone? Where's that? Is that Muscat still in? Muscat?
You know when they went up with us in League One, Sheffield United, did you think that they'd still be playing Billy Sharp up front and he'd get 22 championship goals this season?
No, I thought when he went there, I thought that was him done. I mean, yeah. he left Southampton to go there, didn't he?
No, he actually went somewhere else. And I know he had a lot of personal problems in terms of, I think he lost his son.
Yeah, he did.
At one point. I know he was, yeah, you're right. It was at Leeds. It was at Leeds, wasn't he?
But Wilder is a good example. He's a bit like, in some ways, like Neil Harris in the sense that he is a kind of a traditional English manager. Sheffield United, big club. And, you know, they are a club that could potentially hold their own in the Premier League, but only by abandoning the football's getting them up there.
Well, they did get up to the Premier League, and they are probably victims of the biggest injustice in Premier League history of West Ham staying up and then being relegated when they used two illegal players. If we, look at the two differences in terms of a Liverpool stadium and so on, you know, talk about big scandals in football. You know, you have Calciopoli in Italy. I think that's probably realistically equally as bad.
Fundamental corruption of the FA.
With Wilder, there was a conversation a little while ago, wasn't there? You know, when like Pardew was on the managerial roundabout and Allardyce was coming in and people going, they mentioned him, didn't they? Because, I mean, was it Northampton that you got something like over 100 points when you got them promoted? And you think, regardless of the league you're in and who you manage, to get 100 points in any league, you're no mug of a manager. And then to do it again with Sheffield United when they've, you know, been a little bit of turmoil, you know, why not give him the Everton job?
It's funny because his assistant manager, Alan Neil, was assistant manager, I think, at Scunthorpe and at Bury. Yeah. Mm. And they had like roles reversed. By the way, Alan Neil's like an extraordinarily tall man, you know that? He's very tall.
Is he taller than you?
Yeah, man. I think he's about 6'6", 6'7".
I was going to say, you and Jake Cooper going for a ball would be quite interesting. Maybe we could do that.
I'll go for that. Yeah, 100%. Chuck in young Mickey Avery as well.
Well, you play it. Can I pull off onto your shoulder instead rather than going up against
you?
Juicy
can pull
Jake.
Off wherever you like. right, yeah.
This is how entertaining Rotherham's game been.
I mean, literally, I know. We're 8 minutes into the show. We haven't mentioned Millwall 0, Rotherham 0 once. After the sheer, you know, exuberance and euphoria and excitement of the week before. Yeah. This was just like a right boot back down to earth, wasn't it?
I had the most exciting thing for me last Saturday was I had to leave the game early and go to Heathrow to pick up Mrs. Hart on the way back from India. So I was listening to 94.9. They described the game as thin gruel, which is very...
A compliment to the game, probably.
Very Dickensian, but it summed it up, really, because it was thin gruel, wasn't it? It was a tough watch.
Personally, myself, I think that major coat brand manufacturers are missing out on advertising opportunities at the Den, because I was the coldest I've ever been at football.
It was really
cold. Yeah. It wasn't even that cold. I just think I was so bored, and it was like biting wind, it was just dreary, you know, like you can imagine one man and his dog watching a game of park football where you have no real interest in the result. You're just watching such dreadful football.
I compared it to the Burton game away last season, just without the defeat, you know. Like, I mean, last season was terrible, but this is, as I said on your show, Nick, on your podcast, that was a classic Millwall performance against teams you think you could beat. But first 10 minutes, you think, oh, we've hit the bar, we're looking all right, it's looking sharp, and then, oh, this lot are shocking, we don't have to put as much effort in, or so it seemed. I'm not saying the players don't do that, obviously, but it's what it just seemed like. It just died. The game just died after the 11th minute.
I can't remember ever seeing a side so with not one player under 5'10".
No, they were a big team.
Oh, big lumps,
they were ridiculous. They couldn't play.
They came for
a
point, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't play a pass.
They did a job in that way. I mean, yeah. I, I can't knock what they came down for and what they achieved. The point for them is, I mean, they're 5 points below us in the table, so they're going to need that point more than we do. It wasn't a disastrous result. I mean, some were, you know, the usual bipolar reaction of Twitter. Some were calling for, you know, the usual suspects to be chopped and axed. But team changes. I mean, I agreed with going back to the same side that we had at Middlesbrough. I thought that was a decent performance up there. So I can't knock the change from the Everton game, but it was quite striking, the lack of fire and desire and or whatever you want to
guile.
Just anything, wasn't it?
It was just such a nothing game. Like, honestly,
exactly.
Apart from the Gregory missing the last minute, I can't remember anything at all.
Yeah, I mean, I was along the A4 by that stage. But, no, it was... Go on. The difference in approach and difference in lack of, lack of energy, I think that's the thing.
We're going to take a pause on the back of this. Matt has called in from Kent, so we're going to speak to him.
This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Yeah, if you want to have your say this evening, 0208 70 25 58, and you don't have to come on and talk about Millwall nil, Rotherham nil. You can talk about the club shop. You can talk about anything you want, really.
You can talk about the deafening LED advert that comes on at the end of the half and the full time.
Is that for Husky Chocolate?
No. There's this weird kind of musical number that literally near enough calls me to have a Connery last week. Yeah, that thing. It's
what
mental.
What's the advertising? What's the advert?
I don't know what it's advertising. I haven't worked that out yet. I'm just deafened by the noise.
It's not even Euro cake or anything good like that.
No, we have Euro ferries. Ferries that don't exist.
Exactly.
There's Euro one cake for this kind of country club, and I think it's the most bizarre advert given that we're in South Birmingham.
Yeah.
They're advertising.
Oh, no, it's the Cheltenham Festival advert. That's the one, which definitely is not going to happen now.
Right. Let's go to Matt and Kent. Matt, what's your favourite advert at the Den?
Well, I've got to admit, that did wake me up last week. Evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Evening, mate.
Evening, mate.
I just want to say, first of all, last week was a cracking show. Obviously, I tweeted in about it, but hats off to you, gentlemen, last week. It was a very good show. And,
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Good. We could reflect on last week. Now, a lot of people saying about the tactics. Now, tomorrow, Neil's saying, suggesting that you may go 4-4-2 with Morrison and Gregory up front. I don't know what your views are on that. Personally, I think the formation that we had last week and against Borough were spot on. I think the personnel was wrong last week. That classic saying, you never change a winning team, should have been set. I think likes of Tunnicliffe and Ferguson were really unlucky to be dropped, in my opinion. I thought that was one of the best games Tunnicliffe has ever played in a Millwall shirt. I'm just wondering what your views would be for tomorrow, really. Do you want to go 4-5? Would you rather go 4-5-1 or 4-3-3, or would you stick to the traditional 4-4-2?
See, we were just saying, Matt, before you came on, I actually approved of the team changes last week prior to the game, purely based on the fact that we went to Borough, we looked so good up there, and probably should have nicked the points. I think what struck me against Rotherham was how the 4-3-3, 4-5-1, whatever way you want to put it, is not a good formation, or that team setup is not a good collection of players for unpicking a defence. And Rotherham, to give them their due, came down to shut up shop, and we didn't really have any clue as to how to get round that. So I think, my own opinion, I'd be interested to see what Harry and Michael think, but I think, yes, I would stick with the same personnel tomorrow down at Swansea, because I expect them to come on to us more, and that's a counter-punch formation, and I think that's where it will come into its own.
I think we were saying it before, Matt. I think there's an element as well where we have to think about what we want to get from sort of Ben Thompson, because he was getting a lot of plaudits. Fair enough, it was in a lower division, but you know, he was head and shoulders one of the best players in the division when he was at Portsmouth, but he was playing a more of an attacking role, and a bit more seemingly from the highlights we saw and the goals he was scoring, a more creative role. He's now come back to the Den and he seems to be not doing that role. I know it's a different team, I know it's a different setup, it's a different league position, but if he was playing in a position and a style where he was receiving plaudits and people screaming for him to come back, why are we not doing that when he's back here? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And to be fair, the Borough game, I mean, I watched that online, and we were brilliant. I think, you know, we didn't look like a team that were in the bottom 6-7 of that league.
I agree. We
looked like we were the top six, the way we played. And Middlesbrough were very, very poor, in my opinion. And, when you have to take off all the players that they took off, and then they brought on the big boys like the Sombla Hongers, that just shows you something, that we've done a cracking job up there. But what I noticed the difference was is that, yeah, okay, the personnel's right, but I just felt there was so much long ball tactics again last week against Rotherham, which Neil said, they are 6'5" players. Well, let's not pump it up to the big, let's not pump it up forward. Let's try and play it on the floor, because Millwall, when they play it on the floor, are actually quite dangerous to play against, from what I've seen. I agree. I think Ben needs that run in that middle of the park to go attacking and basically sort of like showcase himself, show the fans what we love about Ben Thompson, which is a true Millwall-spirited attacking midfielder, and what Portsmouth have been enjoying for the first half of the season.
Yeah, I'd agree with a lot of what you said there, Matt, to be fair. I think the problem for Neil Harris, and I'd be interested to hear what you all think on this, I think the problem for Neil Harris is that at home, Millwall fans kind of want us to go at the other team. And realistically, the personnel at the moment, we haven't really got the strength in depth to do that. So if it's not working, I don't think we've got, Tunnicliffe, Williams, Leonard, Thompson are very much the same style of midfielder. They're not going to, I can't see, with the greatest due respect to Ryan Tunnicliffe and Ryan Leonard, they're not going to run past four men and put one in from 25 yards. It's not going to happen. So I feel like the reason they go long ball is because it's worked so much. I mean, the week before against Everton, the better side, obviously, supposedly, than Rotherham, I think that does get in your head a little bit. I also think last week we got fanned out at left back. I think Murray Wallace was, his pace was very...
Exposed.
Yeah, exposed is the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
And maybe, and this is maybe the only place where I would change, I would give Ferguson a run out at left back. In a 4-3-3.
It was harsh on Ferguson to get dropped. I would agree with that.
But Marshall played left back last season against Aston Villa on the last day and was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Now, he's a little bit more switched on defensively than I'd say an Aidan O'Brien would be. So maybe that's something to look at going forward. But obviously, away from home tomorrow at Swansea, if we get a point, I'd take your hand off, if I'm being honest.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, to be fair, that's a good idea, because obviously you can have Marshall and Ferguson sort of like switch playing quite a bit there. Which is quite good that you got two players there that can both be attacking as well as defensive. So it's a nice balance there.
How would you go tomorrow, Matt? Would you go stay with the 4-3-3, same 11 as last week? Would you make changes tomorrow?
I would personally stick. Yeah, I mean, I think I would stick with that. I mean, the idea of having Fergie at left back, attacking slash and at left back, seems like a good idea.
Yeah.
I was 4-4-2 is a good formation, but the modern day football is you attack, you go 4-3-3, you defend, you go 4-5-1, and that's sort of like that's where modern football is. So Williams, that little pocket in front of the back four for Williams, where he can, we know he can ping a decent pass. That would be an ideal scenario for him, and that gives the freedom of likes of Leonard and Thompson or Tunnicliffe to actually go forward. And it's funny how you mentioned about how we don't take on, the midfield don't take on three players or two players and shoot. Well, I get there early and I watch them warm up, and they're having pot shots from 25 plus on the sidelines. And
they going in though?
It winds me up. But at least have a crack. I mean, I think we'll be more sort of like appreciate it if they do hit 25 yards and they go an inch wide or an inch over, or obviously back in the net. And I just don't see it. Likes of Romeo can hit a ball at 25 yards, 30 yards. He did have a shot actually, to be fair, last Saturday, and it went straight down the keeper's throat. But we've got players that can do that. And it annoys me when we're just outside the edge of the box and all I want to do is say, shoot, like just hit the thing and see what happens. You know, if you, it's the classic case, you can't win a raffle, you can't win the prize if you don't buy the ticket. You know what I mean? It's that sort of analogy, really. But another thing before I go, gentlemen, has there any been updates from the FA regarding the challenge on the centre half on Jordan Archer? Because we've been, both clubs have been charged with a, and I put it in inverted commas, a melee from that incident.
It was a melee, wasn't it? I mean, obviously, in real time, I didn't really catch the full extent of the challenge on Jordan Archer. I don't know if it's the challenge.
I called it a ridiculous decision, didn't I, at the time? Yeah. That was what I tweeted.
But is it the challenge that's... The FA aren't really interested in the fact whether he should or shouldn't have got a red card. It's more about the scuffle, isn't it?
I think because he showed the yellow card, they can't do anything anyway, can they?
I wouldn't have thought so. No.
There you have it. There is your answer. Matt, thank you for calling in tonight, pal. We do appreciate it. We've got to go to a break now. But if you want to have your say this evening, it's 0208 70 20 558.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
Yeah, this is Love Sport Radio with your Millwall fans. Can't tell you what goes on during the breaks here, believe me.
It's the best part of the show.
What I can tell you, well, we've got to bring the extra back.
I couldn't edit enough. There's so much material. I couldn't edit all the bits that are libelous, defamation of character.
Slander.
I'd have been doing 20 years.
And that was just the one me and Harry were on, wasn't it?
I've got a house to protect, listeners. I can't be putting out on my Twitter feed.
And block 17, 18 and 19, apparently.
Yeah. They've closed down a couple of back rows in the two blocks concerned, and there's a slight urban myth that Mill have now got microphones hanging down from the roof urban myth in the sense I think they've always been there.
You mean like in Bingo?
No. They were here. They were open to the elements. Now they've been enclosed in plastic.
Right. I think it was the microphones. You know, you used to get in like the old boxing matches. That was when Herbie Hyde fought there, and they've got stuck, and we've just not taken them off since 1994.
Well, to be fair, as Nick kindly put in the Achtung Millwall year handbook thing that you made. He talked about how the Den was a multi-use venue, and so you never know, that they might think that, you know, Anthony Joshua might fancy it or something like that.
Floyd Mayweather versus Juicy Jake Cooper.
That's it. There's been a goal, by the way, in that game at Villa Park. And
is it Alan Hutton's button?
No, I'm just looking to see who has grabbed that goal for the Villa.
I don't think he knew about it, did he?
Look. No, he didn't. It looked like it.
It's a squad player with a number 44.
It's a squad. £10 says he's on loan.
Ramsden's currency, they got written on their shirt.
Now, Tyrone Mings!
Oh, the face stamper.
It's old Mingsy.
To me, that's a chip shop. How Ramsden, they got into the currency FX zone.
I know,
as well,
do you know what? I used to think about that as well.
Harry Ramsden.
It's like when Derby was sponsored by Pedigree. And I never, it was Master's Pedigree.
Pedigree Chum.
Dog food and finance.
Beer. Yeah. But it was Marston's Pedigree.
Harry Ramsden's doing a bit of the
in their away kit. You know, there's like the Black Sheep Brewery.
Yeah.
Sure.
Who's that?
That's like a beer company, isn't it? So they should have had like that as their away kit sponsor, because they could have played in black. And it's a brilliant sponsor. You can have that for free, Derby. Well, actually, they're now called Frank Lampard's Derby, to give them official name.
That's right.
They are. Do you want to touch on the Jeb Wallace interview?
Yeah, interesting interview. It's on the news at Den, which is always a source of material for our show, because the first place I go to look for conversation points. But it's a great interview between, I think it's John Kelly and Jed Wallace, talking about Ben Thompson. And it's just his description of the realities of the professional footballer's life. I think sometimes as fans, we all fall for this, that we all think that there's... for the football, it's a job, isn't it? It's a career, it's a job. And it's just talking about Ben at Portsmouth, how, you know, he had a future there potentially, when, and there was no, he had a decision to make. I mean, he's clearly got links to Millwall, and he's come back because, as the interview says there, he's got a lot of feeling. But I just thought the description of the fan base as a group that can bury you, I just thought that was quite a nice line. A fan base that can bury you, potentially.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much true, isn't it?
But it is true.
It's a bit like last season when you saw the lovely photos of Ben Thompson meeting Tim Cahill for the first time. I'd just like to point out that I would turn into that fangirl if I met Ben Thompson, because it's the feeling's mutual, Ben, if you're out there listening, trust me.
I just want to know what you'd turn into if you met Ryan Tannacliffe. Well, the Hulk.
That'd be different. If
Hulk,
that happens,
Hulk angry.
Look, I generally believe Ryan Tannacliffe and me are destined to meet on a dark alley somewhere.
Well, then we're going down a different show now.
That's another one for the extra.
Extra. But no, he's, you know, Jed's talking about strength of character, which he says is, you know, Ben has shown, and that's correct. He also mentions Jordan Archer in this interview. Strength of character, after making a mistake, he played really well in the second half.
Did he?
Well, he didn't make any further errors, let's put it that way. I know some would argue that's what you're being paid to do, but it does take a certain mentality to continue on from
on the subject of Jordan. On the subject of Jordan Archer, my mates just had a baby. Hello, Jake and Rachel. And they've called their baby Archer.
What?
In honour of Jordan?
Oh, they're not football fans. So my Archer. Mates who are football
it's
fans
the alcoholic have, drink.
Have just posted pictures of Jordan Archer just asking questions.
What's their surname, just out of interest?
Lurton.
Archer Lurton.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He's got a middle name.
What did you get him?
I haven't seen the baby yet.
I told you, set a socket spanners, pal.
Well, actually, on the club shop update, there's a few bits for the baby. There we go. There you go, club shop.
There's a link in there, ladies and gentlemen. Looks seamless.
Segwayed. Hold on a minute. We're just watching a replay. I thought there was another goal in there. But
what, you thought he'd got another one of them weird sort of kick the goalkeeper in the face?
There's a nice line from the Jed interview. Tomo was a real fan's favourite at Portsmouth Pompey. He's a Duracell bunny. He's everywhere. Winning headers, tackles. You cannot not enjoy watching. I think that's a nice image. A Duracell bunny. It don't stop until it runs out of patch of power. I like that image.
I'm not saying
anything
about...
this is part of the new cuddly Millwall. We've abandoned all that, you know.
It's all fluff now, Nick.
That was so last week.
Yeah. I still think the Bermondsey Lions... logo that you coined, it might be the new version of Zampa. Someone should draw that as Zampa's new costume. Because, kids, Zampa's really a costume. But I didn't say that, lad.
Villa have got another goal.
3-2.
5 minutes to go.
It looks like it's Tammy Abraham who has grabbed the goal for Aston Villa.
Wow, what a set piece this is.
Is that Glenn Wheat? He's onside.
Look at the miles onside. He's about 10 yards on.
Oh, it's a soft
The keeper's out of there.
Soft goal.
Talking to Jordan Archer. No.
Can I just say, it would be really, really disappointing if when Jordan Archer has kids, it's not called Bo and Archer or something like that. Or
I've got another...
Strong.
Bo. Another quote from the news at Den, which I quite like, before we move along, just going back to the Rotherham, the melee, the incident, the scuffle.
The Royal Rumble.
The Rotherham defender.
The Rotherham Rumble.
To Sean Williams says the Rotherham defender hinted at guilt. He hinted at guilt. I don't know how you hint at guilt, because you either say I'm guilty.
It's a bit like the discussion of he's a little bit offside. He can't be a little bit offside. He either is or he isn't.
Well, the defender said himself, so Williams says, that he wouldn't have been happy if he had got that challenge on himself.
He jumped on his head.
I like how Jake Cooper done an atomic leg drop on him. He just literally ripped his leg up and just decided that was it. I'm going for you. It was the most interesting thing about the game, to be fair.
The melee was all right. And I mean, I missed the last minute chance for Lee Gregory.
Oh, so did he.
To be fair, I mean, you know, given that we touched the crossbar and from in the opening minute it was Ben Marshall, and then we had the last minute chance. There wasn't much in between. I remember a volley. I think Marlon might have had a volley, but
Rotherham got away with one as well, didn't they?
And Archer made a good save. Yeah. So you know, I'm just giving a sharp look at Harry as I'm saying that, listeners, just so that you're aware of the dynamics in the room. I'm just giving Harry a bit of a look, a death stare for that.
Sorry, I apologise for that. I've just seen a two-footed tackle from about 40 yards away. It's awful. This is bad.
So, yeah, there we are. It's been a nice, quiet week at the Den after all that excitement of last week and all those FA inquiries and that media crucifixion.
It's all right.
It's been nice and quiet this week.
Their attention may have been drawn elsewhere. I don't know what the right terminology is to say that West Ham have sort of
but here's the thing,
taken the ire off us a little bit.
I mean,
do you know what's taken my attention off me all this week?
What's that?
Rate my plate.
Huh? Oh, I saw that with the bacon and eggs
on Facebook. Rate my plate.
The world, the social media has not been a good thing, in my opinion, to the world.
It's grass cam.
you ever been on Rate My Plate?
Rates, is that something made by Lions TV?
Are you on Facebook?
The fact Nick's asked you to say it again is probably showing
you. I misheard it. I'm,
are you
sure,
on Facebook?
I'm not liking what I'm hearing. Rate my plate.
Yeah. Oh. Are you on Facebook?
I don't really dabble in it.
Yeah.
Young Mickey?
Yeah.
Yeah? Really search matter. Rate my plate. And just read the comments. It's just comedy gold. Mm. I sat up to about 4 o'clock
in the
morning.
Is this basically like an Alan Partridge show?
No, it's like people put pictures of their food.
No, but this is the kind of thing that you go, I'm here for a show.
I can't see me devoting large amounts of my time the best to looking thing, at Rate My
Trust
Plate,
me, you will.
Aaron.
You will.
The best thing I saw on social media recently was use a film title to describe your last toilet, and someone wrote, glad with a chance of meatballs. That one made me laugh.
Is this where you get like pictures of Jesus in your scrambled eggs or
no,
something?
No, it's actually like people's can I just say, all I know is I've never seen people eat so much super noodles and just like super noodles on toast and stuff. I've never seen that before.
The North is a strange place, Aaron.
I might shoot in the Mill Cafe and see if I can rate the plate in there.
Rate my tray.
Rate my tray.
Wrap up in a loop shake, the only thing you get in a Mill Cafe.
Exactly. Willie Nelson out the bacon.
Let alone what you get in the press box, eh, Aaron, with your food stories.
Yeah, can I just say a big thank you to our two ladies who look after us so well. They're not actually there anymore, are they?
In the
God bless them.
You we'll have to wait till after the next day, but you can describe your brioche.
We're
Bristol City.
Oh yeah. Have a look. I'll show you the brioche. I showed you the brioche, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Absolute shambles. we're gonna get the opposition view next. This is Love Sport.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio. The opposition view on Love Sport.
Harry's just said he wanted to meet Bell and Spurling. All I said is, you've got to come in. You've got to pop into Love Sport. Actually, what time do they finish, Pat? 2:30, isn't it? 2:30. You've got to pop in about 2:35. Just wait outside and ask Johnny Spurling for a hug. Because as I said before, what's that? It's like hugging a Shar Pei. That's the one. You know a Shar Pei dog. It's like hugging a Shar Pei dog. It's genuinely one of the best cuddles. Paddy will vouch for it. If you turn around, look, he's nodding. He's not. It's the best cuddle.
That isn't a very aggressive nod.
It's the best cuddle you'll ever have in your life.
Most Irish nod he's ever done.
I'm passing on this.
You're not having
he's
a cuddle?
He's giving me an Irish death stare now.
Hold the blinds down.
Let's get the opposition view from a man who knows me all too well. He taught me at university for 3 years. I mean, I didn't really go to many classes, but he still claims to have taught me something. His name is Dr. Hugh Richards, and he is a Swansea City fan. How are you, pal?
Hi, Aaron fans. I'm fine, yourself?
Yeah, not bad. Thank you for joining us at such late notice. It's been an interesting week in the history of Swansea City Football Club. Of course, everyone knows that they were taken over by some Americans whilst they're in the Premier League. But it's sort of all come to a head now with a bit of a shambles of a deadline day and Hugh Jenkins announcing his resignation post-defeat to Bristol City on Saturday.
That's right, yeah. And I think Hugh Richards going is, sorry, Hugh Jenkins going is very much end of an era. He'd been chairman for 17 years. And the Swansea City Trust said at the time, history will draw its own judgment on Hugh Jenkins at that time as chairman. And I suspect it will say he did absolutely brilliantly for about 12 or 13 years. There then came a point, I think, at which staying in the Premier League became not just a priority, but the only one. And I think clubs that do that start doing stupid things under pressure, which is what Swansea started doing. You started getting some daft signing, a succession of managers, and the idea of the Americans coming in was they'd bring in some extra money, they'd bring in some expertise. The only money they brought in went to the previous owners of the club. There's no evidence of any expertise. And there was a statement that the Americans would take the club to another level. Well, if taking it down a level counts, they have. Hugh stayed on. And you can look at that one of two ways. You know, either he was a bit of a fig leaf for the Americans, or he was a restraint on them. You know, I think we'll find out a bit more from now on. You know, he's given an interview this week saying he felt that he'd been made a scapegoat because he was very much the public face of the club and he'd stayed on under the Americans. He took the brunt of a lot of the criticism and clearly had a fairly unpleasant time.
What do you make of Graham Potter so far, and what have you made of the way he's tried to maybe reinvigorate Swansea and restore some of their identity that had been lost in the sea that was the Premier League?
I think Graham Potter has been terrific. It was a very interesting appointment. It was almost the one thing Swansea have done in the last 3 years that followed the pattern of what they'd done over the previous 10 or 15, which is bringing somebody who's not necessarily a huge name, but fits the sort of club they want to be. He's a bright, youngish, cosmopolitan, and a good coach. You know, one of the things you need as a small club in the Premier League or top end of the Championship is you can't just buy ready-made players. You've got to have somebody who makes good players better. And I think we've already seen that with Potter, what he's done with several players have come out of the under-23s from last season. He clearly wants to play good football. I think he's now a very, very important figure at the club because with Hugh Jenkins gone, and there's a question about whether Hugh's credibility was already so damaged, Potter remains now, I think, the major figure in terms of credibility with the fans. So he's very, very important. If he were to go, I think that would be the point at which there would be a feeling the club might be in some form of free fall.
Very quickly, Andre Green has grabbed an equaliser for Aston Villa at the death. Villa 3, Sheffield United 3. Sheffield United 3 goals up just after the hour mark. But it's just finished 3-3 between Aston Villa and Sheffield United. Nick?
I'm just wondering how Swansea fans see their club. It might sound like a strange question, but I mean, as an outsider to the club, it always seems that their recent reputation has been of a footballing side, you know, a team that likes to keep and retain the ball. I think you described them as a young cosmopolitan side, so that kind of encourages a certain style of football. Is that an overwhelming priority for fans, that they retain that style, or is winning football? You know, we've just been watching Sheffield United on the TV have given up a 3-goal lead, but that a much more kind of industrial side. You know, how do fans see their future under the new management now?
Is that being asked of me? I think the style of it's a great question, because I think at the moment there's real worry about the state of the club as a whole. But I think there's a feeling that football's very important. You know, you got used to playing a certain way. Mm. There's also a feeling, if necessary, if you're not always going to be hugely successful, you want to enjoy the football. And I think that's what Graham Potter has brought back. And for instance, last year when, previous changes of managers, there were discussion, people saying, well, you ought to bring in Tony Pulis. You know, that would have been suicide because you've got a club which 15 years has been developing a different type of player. You'd probably have had to sign an entirely new set of players to start with. So playing a decent style of football is not just a question of what the fans want, but it actually makes sense. It's what has brought the club results for years. In the same way, for instance, that I think Cardiff City down the road have been very sensible this year in sticking with Neil Warnock and sticking with a more direct style. It won't necessarily keep them up, but if they try to sort of change direction, having got into the Premier League, I think that would have been suicidal. Yeah. So I think that the style is important.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the last time that I remember playing you was this season. I think you ended up in the playoffs. We finished eighth. the last time we were in the Championship, and you come down when we were under Kenny Jackett and gave us an absolute footballing lesson. I think it was a realisation of how far, even though we finished, I think, eighth that season.
That
we
was it like a 4-0 or a 5-0?
Yeah, they won 4-0 and killed off any playoff hopes sort of three or four games before the end of the season. And you had players like Angel Rangel and players like that at the time. Yeah. And I think, realistically, the game earlier on in the season, I mean, you were down to 10 men for a large period of the game and still managed to beat us as well.
And they had the post as well, didn't they? Yeah,
yeah. So if we were to somehow manage to nick a point tomorrow, I think most Millwall fans would be very happy. I don't think you're going to see flowing football from Millwall. You might see flowing long balls. I don't know what your two centre halves are like, but they might be doing a lot of running to pick the ball up from behind them.
Yeah, I think as far as tomorrow is concerned, is we've been a bit unpredictable this season, and Montero, the winger who came on and did all the damage in the last 20 minutes against you at the Den, is one of the people who's gone out on loan, and that's somewhat shambolic final day of the transfer window. Ollie McBurney, the centre forward who got the winning goal, is injured, and apparently is a doubt. So it won't be exactly the same team. Good of you to mention those two games, because I wasn't going to.
We can't forget them.
They're ingrained. When we get beat at the Den, you remember. Mainly because we're so strong there. Away from home, you kind of... that's par for the course, getting beat, to be fair, recently, over the last couple of years.
Well, the thought struck me about that game, because I was thinking beforehand about what I might be asked about, was that, as well as we've played this season, and I can't imagine you can possibly have played any worse.
Oh, no, trust me, we've played worse.
Did you not watch the Rotherham game?
We had a bad time at Rotherham, where we dominated for 80 minutes and somehow managed to lose. So
we went one better than you. I wouldn't at all
assume that tomorrow is anything like a foregone conclusion. I think it's genuine. It is one of the great attractions of having had several years in the Premier League. Coming into the Championship, you really don't know what to expect. And I found that after years of Premier League predictability, it's one of the things that's hugely refreshing about the Championship as a league. And since if you'd looked at the who's top, who's bottom at the moment, everybody before the season started was talking about Stoke and West Brom. West Brom finally got somewhere in the fringes. Where are Stoke? Where are Nottingham Forest? The people who were being talked about. It's a league which is very unpredictable. In fact, it's all the things the Premier League is supposed to be and isn't. It's competitive and it's unpredictable. And frankly, for fans, it's much more fun.
It is indeed. Can we get a quick score prediction off you?
I'll say 2-1 to us, but with no great conviction.
Appreciate it. Really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Dr. Hugh Richards there, a massive Swansea City fan, an all-round really, really, really clever guy. We're going to go for a pause because it's 14 minutes to 10 o'clock. This is Love Sport.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
Stick a bunny in your pocket. I'll fetch the suitcase from the bank. Because if you want the best things, but you don't ask questions, then brother, I'm your man. Because where it all comes from is a mystery.
Right, yeah. Paddy's playing this off Betamax.
The Betamax bandit.
Exactly. Time for your club shop update. Young Mickey Avery's been sampling some of the local delights of the Den club shop.
So that you don't have to.
Yeah, exactly. I've heard your sauce is a sauce that's once been on this radio show.
Yeah, the club shop update sponsored by Brandon Prangles Pringles and Lucas Balls Ball.
But can I just say, by the way, this is like, we're trying to make it into like an interactive listening service. So forget QVC, forget your TV shopping. We're doing radio shopping. If you like what you're listening, what you're
they look better on the radio. Than
if you like what you're hearing,
please send in items to any one of our free Twitter feeds.
Yeah.
And please explain what they are.
And we'll auction them for you.
Yeah, we will.
We'll get rid of them. And we've got full card machine facilities as well, yeah?
I want Millwall memorabilia. I want your rubbish Millwall memorabilia. That is your...
Like really bad stuff.
Really bad stuff. I want Danny Shittoo's That's What We Do t-shirts. That's what I want.
There you go.
Go on in, Michael.
Well, so, do you remember a while back we had for the rather large girlfriend who had too much Christmas? Well, do you want to take her out?
Of course you do.
With Valentine's, isn't it, this week? Not,
Valentine's this weekend. Sure. You want to take the rather larger lady in your life out? The oversized check shirt for 12 quid.
12 quid? 12 quid?
That's a bargain.
It's oversized.
So describe
as well.
It for the listeners. This is a check shirt, like a lumberjack style shirt.
It is slightly. It's a bit Brokeback Mountain. I'm not going to lie.
Is it a bit Gullnet? Would you understand?
Well, it's got the Mill logo on it, and it's actually got a crossed sort of section.
It looks like a pitch.
So you know, when you've got a rather large woman who's worried about her size, the horizontal or vertical stripes, you've got both.
Are they supposed to be slimming?
Indeed. But, however, following on, sorry, Nick, I have to follow
perfect
on.
Perfect for if you've just been almonds.
I was going to say.
Or Manzies.
That's the one.
If you're a rather large lady, would look very butch wearing that, wouldn't she?
She would. You wouldn't call her rather large
possibly
wearing that, would
possibly
she'd
frequent some of the LBGT clubs.
But here's one
for
you.
The White Swan.
Here's one for you.
On lumberjack fetish night. You know.
Following on, if you take your rather large girlfriend out and she gets a little bit offended by being called rather large with the clothes you're buying her, what about the ladies' gym sweatshirt?
Ah,
20% off. Here you go.
I can do a description of it. It is
here you go.
It's almost team wear levels of grey.
Yeah, it's kind of got a grey.
Is that what
sleeves.
They call grey marle?
A grey marl, yeah.
And also
as
well,
you're wearing
grey
marl
as
we sit here now.
It's supposed to be. Sorry, Mickey. I do apologise. We're being quite rude here. How are you talking?
I was going to say we've got zip up pockets here. Where if the oversized lady wants to go to the gym, she can zip her Twix and her Kit Kats in there.
How much is that, Michael?
This is 36 pounds.
£36. Is it made by Macquarie?
And is it in stock?
Of course it's not.
No.
Is it like where is my Morrison jumper? That's
if you're going to the den. For to buy Valentine's presents, simple. Don't.
But it does feature the Roaring Lion, so although you could go to Stratford Market and probably pick it up for under a tenner, I would say,
you
wouldn't have your Roaring Lion on it. No. So you need to pay your £36.
What about is the new version of the Bermondsey Lion Cuddle Club toy available in the shop yet?
Also known as rebranded Simbas.
Well, you say that.
Oh, that's called Zampa.
You say that. Actually, I'm on the top sellers. Mm-hmm. So up with the adult away shirt and the adult home shirt, number 6 is Dark Flights.
Dark Flights.
I wonder where we'll be aiming them at. Yep. Pictures of Kevin Friend after that's tomorrow, cool.
No,
presumably.
Indeed. And nothing says February more than a beach towel. Number 8 nothing. On the chart.
Well, there's a lot of Millwall jet setters out there going off to far-flung places like Los Angeles, Las Vegas.
You go to Benidorm right now. Yeah, forget the German Mercedes towels.
Millwall beach towel.
You can have half a Bermondsey out there before breakfast.
You can have your Acton Millwall. I want to see an Acton Millwall tea towel in Germany.
So from the look of the club shop website, if you see a rather large woman playing darts, she's probably a Millwall fan.
Wearing a lumberjack
on lumberjack night.
Is that an outbreak, Paddy? We're going to
bring your girlfriend on the
I no longer want to be part of this podcast, this radio show.
No, we've got an all-inclusive holiday as well.
Putting the log back in lumberjack.
I was going to say. By the way, very quickly, you know, I just want to report that there was a sale actually on the Macron items. You know, there was I was describing them to you actually, Harry. I was offering to purchase one here and there for you.
You're offering me the lovely third orange kit.
It looks good, you know. It looks good. The orange shirt.
Yeah. For all that, you know, all the Netherlands style football that we play.
Delightful. There's the walkout jacket as well.
I like the walkout jacket.
You say that. This was an item. Just when you think that you can actually get on there with the tape, £31.50.
That's
for a
bargain.
Bargain.
That's a bargain.
Also, £13.50 off, a 30% reduction.
They're giving
out
it away.
Of stock.
They are giving it away. They're losing money on that deal. I can't believe that.
But they're doing it for the fans. I'm just saying, all I want right now is a Millwall vest for each of us.
You know what I really want? Next season, I want a Millwall-style Sunderland till I die.
Documentary.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
Oh, that'd be brilliant. Back.
Just about the club shop. I don't want nothing else.
It's a retail instruction manual, the Mill Club shop.
Mary, Mary Porterhouse comes in and overrides the shop.
TED Talk, how I turn around a failing Mill Club shop.
Episode one, it's not in stock. Episode two, we're still waiting for it.
Rebranded.
My name's Nick Hewer, and I'm in business with Lord Sugar, and I've come here to sort out this shop.
Now, the crux of the issue here is they have no stock.
Am I instructing them to spend some cash flow on some stock?
Now, when you've got no stock, you've got nothing to sell. Therefore, this space is redundant.
And a crying shame, I mean, on a serious point, is that
no serious point with a club shop.
No, if they got the gear right, they could sell a lot of stuff.
To be fair, it was supposed to be a pizza up, weren't it, in the original stadium?
Was it actually?
Yeah.
Banter.
Yeah. When the den was built, which you see the odd photo occasionally on Twitter.
To be fair, they'd sell more.
The there was talk of franchising McDonald's and Pizza Hut and Burger King. And
like a Barnet.
Yeah, it was
kind of in the corner.
And that's why you've
really
got clothes
thing.
For fat people, because of all the fast food outlets you would have had there.
And instead
Lumberjack
shirts.
Lumberjack shirts.
In I would have liked an outside pub. That would have been really good.
What's the name of the New York hot dog, Johnny Rockets hot dog stall we have in there? They've got a hot
Frank's.
They gave it a Bronx kind of
Is that what it is in the West Stand?
They've changed that now.
I'm in the East Stand. I'm in the dirty rascal stand.
Oh dear. Anyway, what about our politically correct song? Shall we finish off with some politically correct songs?
Yeah, very quickly. I was going to say, look out, because I'm hoping that we get a spring summer collection out of Nick for Acton Mill. You know, the beach towels and shorts and whatnot.
A tea towel.
We once did a tea.
Get the beach towel.
We once done a tea towel about our favourite ever Austrian.
Oh yeah,
Stefan Mayerhofer.
That's right, Mayerhofer's. Yeah.
So to close this week's show, I thought we'd cover the great post of the acceptable chants that can be chanted at Millwall from the 2019-20 season, which was doing the rounds on Twitter. Should we take them in turn? Shall I start?
Yep.
No one likes us, we don't care, it's out. We can't sing that anymore. The FA will throw us out of football. So now we're going to sing Everyone Loves Us, We Do Care. Everyone loves us, we do care.
Love them all, United, wet spam, even the blue team in Liverpool is a replacement for a famous chant that I'm not allowed to say on radio.
Michael.
We paid for your hats, we paid for your hats. What a good way to spend our council tax. We paid for your hats.
Stick the drum on a harness. Stick the drum on a... What's this all about, stick the drum on a harness?
Stick the drum in a place where...
Oh, right,
the sun doesn't
shine. Stick the drum on a harness. Or alternative safety bracket, stick the drum on a harness. Carry on.
Your support is very good. is very good.
It's one for Ipswich and Norwich. Is your agricultural machine? Is your agricultural machine? Is your agricultural machine parked outside?
Let's do a joint.
Chim chiminy, chim chim true. We love those people in Clarendon and Blue.
Not really.
Absolutely delightful, gentlemen. It's been an absolute privilege and a pleasure once again. This Thank is the Acton Millwall podcast with the Spring Summer Collection coming on next week. If you are a lumberjack shirt wearing woman who enjoys darts, give us a call, give us a tweet. I'm back on Monday where we talk all things Arsenal. Have a great weekend.
Coming, you Lions.
Bye for now.
We've all come down to cheer. We've had our jelly deals and our glass of beer. Come rain or shine all the time, our families will bring. And as the Lions run on the pitch, everyone will sing. Let them come, let them come.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.